Luke is such a marvelous storyteller. The story we've heard today, the story of Mary traveling to the hill country to her cousin Elizabeth, who just happens to be pregnant with John the Baptist, that unborn baby who leaps in her womb upon hearing Mary's voice. Elizabeth feels that movement inside her and is compelled to call out, "Blessed! Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Did Elizabeth even know ahead of time that Mary, this young unwed girl, was pregnant? Had Mary maybe sent a letter? I don't know. But the drama of this moment, wow, because even if she knew that Mary was pregnant, even if Mary had written about all that the angel Gabriel told her and the impossible things that had transpired, this is the moment where Elizabeth really feels that it's all true. "The mother of my Lord appears before me," she says. And this action compels Mary to sing out, to literally sing. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." This would be such a great musical, wouldn't it? In musicals, we accept that the people we're watching are so overcome that their emotions and very beings can only be expressed through song. The lyrics and song can seem a little much when spoken, but when we sing them, we remember them. And those who hear it, they remember it because of their truth. There's truth behind the words. "There were bells all around, but I never heard them ringing until there was you." Let it go. I can't hold it back anymore. Or even right now, "We need a little Christmas right this very minute." It feels a little sacrilegious to talk about the gospel this way, doesn't it? When we hear the word story or think of a musical, we think of it as the opposite of a verifiable truth. It's something that's made up to entertain. It's just a story, and the Bible, the Word of God, should surely have more weight than that, shouldn't it? And so if you're a certain kind of person, you make scripture a history. This all literally happened. And if it didn't happen this exact way, then it's not true. Or if you're another kind of person, you say, "This is all allegory. It's just theology. It's an intellectual exercise." We can make scripture, these stories, an exercise for our mind. But in this season of Advent, when we call out for our Emmanuel, for our God to be with us, physically, tangibly with us, when we ponder the Word made flesh, the Christ made incarnate, embodied, when we encounter a story like this, where these women experience the impossible and sing out loud, I don't think we're supposed to just analyze this moment. I think we're meant to feel it in our bodies. I think we're supposed to be all up in our feelings here. Children are practiced at this. They listen to bedtime stories and fairy tales and watch the same Disney movie over and over and over. And even we stodgy adults, we can be transitioned into it when we go to see a show or a Christmas concert or Elphaba racing across a big screen defying gravity. Carl Jung believed these kinds of stories are mirrors. They reflect inner aspects of ourselves, our very feelings within our very bodies. Encountering the archetypes of these characters allows us to encounter ourselves and then to be transformed by it. Dr. Clarissa Estes is a Jungian analyst. She wrote the book Women Who Run with the Wolves. She says that stories like these are medicine. They do not require that we do, be, or act anything. It's not work. We need only listen. The remedies for repair, a reclamation of any lost sense of self, are contained in these stories. So let me tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was a young girl named Mary. She was traveling to the hill country to see her sister Elizabeth after she had encountered an impossible thing, an angel. who told her an impossible thing, that she was to conceive a baby through the Holy Spirit, and even more overwhelming still, that the baby would be Jesus. He would be great and would be called the Son of the Most High. He would reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom would never end. She pondered what that might mean, and she paced back and forth with the wondering of it, and as she did so, she found she was traveling to her cousin Elizabeth. When she arrived there, her cousin turned toward her, and Mary saw that Elizabeth, her elderly barren cousin Elizabeth, was also pregnant, enough to show. Elizabeth gasped and put her hand to her stomach, feeling the baby within. And before Mary could say a word, Elizabeth cried out, "Blessed are you, Mary! You're pregnant, and you're carrying the fulfillment of all our hopes, what the Lord has promised us. How lucky am I! How blessed am I that you are standing here before me!" And Mary, who was surely tired from her travels, who was surely weary from pondering impossible things as she walked, she heard these words and was overcome. A wave of emotion rolled through her, and she sang out. Her soul proclaimed the greatness of the Lord. Her spirit rejoiced. If what the angel said was true, and impossibly it was, and if what Elizabeth just shouted is true, and she seems so sure, then this means the world is about to change. The hungry will be fed, and the rich will be sent away empty. God has promised to be with Abraham's people forever, and he still is. He literally is intertwined with Mary's flesh this very moment. And she sings of these great things for all to hear. In this story, you are Elizabeth. You have received a blessing you longed for and thought was impossible. You are pregnant with anticipation, waiting for what is to come, fueling it with your very self, your work, your energy, your care. You are surprised by a visit from a loved one. You are surprised by what moves within you when you encounter God. You realize that you are blessed with God's presence in your life by the work God is doing right now and the promises to come. In this story, you are John the Baptist, full of potential and promise, but not yet formed, not yet ready to act. You hear a still, small voice through the darkness, and you involuntarily move in reaction to it. What does this mean? You grow, and you sense that the world you are in will become too small if you stay in it, and you wonder if it's worth growing, if it means you'll need to leave this safe, small place. You wonder if you have a choice. You imagine the bigger world beyond. In this story, you are Mary. Your life has been turned upside down. It is impossible what has happened, the impossible what you're being asked to do, but you keep going. You are restless. You move. You try to get a new perspective through a change in environment, through moving your feet and walking and walking. You go to family, to a loved one, to where you know you will not be judged, where you can be as you are. You go to family, to a loved one, and you are afraid of how the family will react to your new circumstances. You are hungry and nauseated and thirsty and dizzy and so tired, and you still have to go about your day. You work up the courage to share your truth, and you are completely, unbelievably accepted wholly. And not just that, you're accepted with joy. You are blessed by the love of your friend and your family. All the good things you hoped, which seemed abstract and far away, are suddenly possible and right in front of you. Nothing has changed, not really, but your spirit rejoices. I think sometimes we can be wary of embodying stories like this. They're so powerful. What if we feel all our feelings and we start to cry, or we laugh inappropriately, or even worse, maybe we break into song? We defang these stories and we make them academic puzzles or historical remnants. But in Christmas, When the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us, we're invited to be transformed by these words, these stories. An incarnate Christ is a fleshy, present, embodied Christ, and that means our bodies, our feelings, our created beings will be transformed by this Christ. If we listen to these stories in the present tense, if we embody and feel them. Luke is a marvelous storyteller. He's also the patron saint of healers, of doctors. So maybe this Christmas, let's hear his stories as medicine, as remedies of repair for ourselves, as remedies of repair for our broken world. Amen.